All right, our reading will be taken from Acts chapter 20, starting at verse number 28. And it reads, "Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son." Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Look at him. You ain't got to touch him. Just look at him. Look at him. If you want to point at him, it's okay too, but look at him. They need to make sure they got your undivided attention. Look at him. And say to them, neighbor,
neighbor,
his blood,
his blood,
neighbor,
neighbor,
his blood,
his blood.
Now turn the other direction because somebody else needs to hear it again. Turn another direction and look at somebody else and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
his blood,
his blood,
neighbor,
neighbor,
his blood,
his blood.
Amen. You may be seated.
Hallelujah. His blood.
We have entitled our message this morning, his blood. You know, there's a lot that's been going on in our world. We see that in Syria, the leader over there dropped nerve gas on folk. And after he did that, we see our current administration went ahead and sent off 60 missiles without getting congressional approval, which means that we all ain't on the same page. It's about us understanding that anything that goes on around us, we need to make sure that we understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it. But then, as I look at all that, and you see the disconnect that is happening within our current administration, the one thing that we have to understand as a people of God, the one thing that should not exist within God's house is called a disconnect.
All right, right.
You see, because of the fact that when we all came, we all initially came, we didn't have a connection. So there was a disconnect. But once we embraced and accepted Christ into our lives, what used to be a disconnect has now allowed us all to connect and all be on the same page. And when we see this, and what we have to understand as we look at this particular scripture we're looking at today, what we have done is just pulled out one verse of a sermon that Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, which goes all the way down to verse number 38, which actually starts in verse 17. Just to give you some quick backdrop. Paul understood that he did not want to see any disconnect in the church. So since he did not want to see any disconnect in the church, while he was in Miletus, you can see it in verse 17, while he was there in Miletus, what he did was he sent a messenger to go get all the elders from Ephesus and bring them back to meet with him.
All right.
Because he understood that this was the last time they were going to hear him preach. This was the last time they were going to see him face to face. Now, how did he know that? Because in his spirit, he realized that the Lord was going to use him and move him on, and he was not going to see them again on this side.
Right.
So it was so important that they did not have any disconnects, but make sure that they were truly moving forward on one accord.
Yeah.
And as he brought them there and as he talked to them. Now, the elders, we know, are the pastors, the leaders in the church. Well, some folk will say, well, pastor, what does this have to do if this is our church's 121st anniversary? What does this have to do if this is Palm Sunday? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want you to understand something, that we wouldn't be a church that we are if we did not have Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the whole thing about us waving some palms and praising God, that's something we do not just on a particular once a year. It's something we do every single Sunday. We wave our hands and we praise the Lord because he made the triumphant entry into Jerusalem to let us know they might think they got him, but in all actuality, he already has the victory.
Right.
So what does that tell us as God's people? Sometimes we're going to go through hell and high water, but we got to go through with our heads up high and praise God. God, because we already know we have the victory. I don't care what you try to do to me. I don't care how you try to block me. I don't care how you try to shut me up. I know I already have the victory. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know that our God is good? I'm sorry, let me come back. They got excited for a minute. Gonna make me hungry. Amen. But it's all good. But what I want us to see and understand that the whole purpose of Paul bringing these pastors, Reverend Rhodes, because he did not want there to be a disconnect.
All right now.
Yeah.
He wanted them to understand that as they preach and teach, they have a responsibility, not just to themselves, but to God.
All right.
And then he wants them to recognize that sometimes road's going to get bumpy.
All right. Amen.
And after verse 28, you'll see in 29 and 30, he said, you got to watch out for the wolves.
Yeah.
See, there's wolves that are on the outside.
Yeah.
But you got to watch out for them wolves that are also on the
inside.
You see, those are wolves that are wearing sheep clothes. You see, but you know, but the thing is, we're not going to bring anything negative anybody. We ain't going to walk around acting like what ain't there isn't there. If it's there, it's there. Amen. But we understand that we serve a God who can fix and will make a way out of all situations. Amen. But now let's get to the scripture. Now, as we look at verse number 28. He says to them specifically, keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? Now, I know I'm the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch over me.
Yeah.
I got to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which means that physically, it is my job to do what is right to take care of this temple that God has blessed me with.
That's right.
I ain't always did what's right digging Elwood.
Well,
I understand, but you know, the brother been working all hard at it for a good little while now. And it's been working, and I just thank God because of the fact that, you know, it's so funny because whenever I go to the gym, some folks see me and I see them and they say, well, we're back here. I say, yeah, if we don't do it, who will? When you think about it, if you don't exercise for yourself and take care of yourself, who can? That's your responsibility, right? And then it's my responsibility as the pastor to continue to immerse myself into the word of God, to study the word of God, to meditate over the word of God, to have a prayer life with the one who has blessed me to be where I am right now, understanding that I am what I am because God said so, not because I'm all that a bag of chips, two shoulders, and what else on the side, Nicole? A shape. You see, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's all because I'm here because this is where God says you are. I'm supposed to be. Now, as I do what I'm called to do, then I have to make sure I take watch. You see, because if I ain't living right, if I ain't walking right, I ain't talking right, anybody who knows who I am, your first day, they're going to say, I ain't going to that church.
Yeah.
You see, but I want you to understand something, yo. Guess what? It ain't just the pastor folk looking at.
Well,
we are all in this.
Yes.
So the thing is, are you living a life that's glorifying God?
Yes.
I recognize that we ain't perfect. But still, are you living a life that glorifies God?
Yes.
Are you living a life to let other folk know, you know what, I know there's churches all over, but at our church, we surely give God the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Yes.
He is the center of all that we do. We recognize the one that we lift up. His name ain't Pastor Cook. The one we lift up, his name is
Jesus.
You see, and that's what we want folk to know.
That's right.
You see, but he also says something about the pastor. Pastors, you got to watch over the flock.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the flock? Y'all.
Yeah.
And since y'all are the flock, what is it my job to do? Preach, teach, encourage, counsel, travel agent. I also help folk find jobs. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. Trust me, there's a whole lot to this, y'all.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, I understand that it is my job to watch over the flock.
Yeah.
And as God is calling me to do this, I will do it to the best of my ability, but I'm not just restricted to my ability, because if I'm restricted to my ability, I will never be successful.
Right.
It's about allowing myself to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, because I've been anointed and appointed for the purpose of giving God the glory in how I live and how I walk and how I talk, and when I teach His word. And I preach His word.
Yeah.
You'll be amazed how folk came and said, "You were just talking to me." I said, "Really?" But I don't know, it's God. Are you following me?
That's right.
See, but there's another piece to this, and we got to throw this piece in. He says, in the rest of that verse, "Of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." The Holy Spirit. Now, I recognize back in 2003 in April, the church came together. Deacon George led the church meeting. I don't know if y'all did it by hands or by ballot. And folk put on there who they wanted to be the pastor. It was myself and somebody else. And then based on that, everybody either voted by a show of hands or voted by ballot. I don't know, and it doesn't matter. But what we do know, well, he just held it up ballot. So they did it by ballot. So somebody had to count the ballots. And then some folk, when they looked at the ballot, don't y'all know, I got a phone call 2 weeks before coming, because my first Sunday preaching here was the fourth Sunday in April. So and the fourth Sunday of April, I will officially have been here 14 years. And when he called me, the first thing he said to me, he said, "Well, Reverend Cook, I got some bad news for you." So when he made those words, I'm already got my concession speech in my head. Thanking him for the opportunity. I'm going to pray with him, and then I'm going to hang up because I'm already pastoring somewhere else. And he said, "I got some bad news for you. You are the pastor of BRBC. Now, there were times when I started, I wonder, was he speaking prophetically? Are you following me? But folk think that y'all voted me in.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit did the voting.
That's right.
It was part of God's plan before any of this ever happened.
That's right.
All we were doing was doing what we were guided to do via the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You see, so since we understand that I'm here because of God's Holy Spirit, amen, you're here because of God's Holy Spirit, then if we move according to that concept, there won't be any disconnect. Because we realize that we're all here via the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And then he goes on to say further in this verse. What he says further in this verse is that to shepherd the church of God, check this out, that He obtained with the blood of His own Son. Now, it is my job to shepherd. Now, do you know what a shepherd is?
Yeah.
See, you know, some folk will say, "Well, you ain't the shepherd, you're the under-shepherd." They didn't say I'm under-shepherd in Scripture, it's a shepherd.
Right.
We understand that ultimately God is the shepherd of us all.
Yes.
But God has given me the assignment to be the shepherd here at BRBC. And since I am a shepherd, the one thing shepherds automatically have to do, Brother Freeman, is stand, watch, and pray. Because the reality is a good shepherd understands that the predators are always lurking, seeking whom they can devour. But it's left up to the shepherd to keep the sheep safe and let them know through the word of God we have the power to overcome all things. Understanding that no matter what kind of predator comes at us, no weapon shall prosper. Because we serve a God who's already given us the victory. And no matter how things happen in our lives and we are troubled, we are not to let our hearts be troubled.
That's right.
Because if we believe in God the Father, we also have to believe in Jesus.
Right.
Because if it were not so, he wouldn't have told us. Because in his Father's house, there are many mansions. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you understand how good our God is, and the shepherd's responsibility is to continue to make sure that we understand that we already got green grass.
Oh, yeah.
You see, the reality is so many folk, Brother Simpson, think the grass is greener.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, if the Lord planted the grass, if the Lord gave us the grass, I want you to know there is no better grass than the grass that Jesus gave. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
Everybody's always looking to see everybody else's grass, and we think it's a whole lot.
Amen.
Shucks, if you look at my lawn from the street, it look real good. But way in the back on the side, on the right hand side. No, ain't no weeds, Brother Chester. Don't go there. Ain't no weeds up in there, bro. The devil is a liar. Ain't no weeds up in there. I do, see, you know, I hear real good. I do have two spots about 2 feet in diameter. Digging out with that grass, man, that dirt is so hard. No matter how much I use a sprinkler system, don't you know that stuff won't grow there? But if you see it from the street, everything look green. Because you can't see the bald spots. Because the grass is up high enough. And the way it's projecting, when you look, you say, Lord, that look real good. You see, so one of the things that we got to understand is that as shepherd, it is my responsibility to give you the best green grass there is. And I want you to know, and the provider of that green grass, his name is
Jesus.
And since we all rely on Jesus, yeah, don't you know the Lord ain't going to let us go without?
Yeah.
He's going to make sure that we have what we have when we need to have it.
Right.
You see, all we got to do is put our trust in him.
Right.
And when we all put our trust in him, Dr. Aldridge, there will not be no disconnect. Amen. See that, Brother Chester, ain't no weeds when we trust him. But as we go on, now I know we're looking at this passage. You done talked about disconnecting, making sure we're connected, but you ain't said nothing about his blood. But I'm glad you asked.
All right.
You see, because that's where we had to end up. You see, I can't keep watch over you. You can't keep watch over me. We couldn't. I couldn't be a shepherd. We couldn't be a church if God had not obtained us with the blood of his own son. Now, some of your Bibles don't say obtained. You know what they say, Sister White? Purchased. You see, so in essence, that one of the things that we have to understand is that the church has been bought in by God through the blood of Jesus. Don't you know that Jesus' blood is the reason why we're all here right now?
Hallelujah.
If it had not been for his blood, none of us could shout hallelujah. If it had not been for his blood, we wouldn't be here for 95 years. If it had not been for his blood, we would not have woke up after being 9.5 days in a medically sedated coma. If it had not been for his blood, we would not have been able to go on there and have open heart surgery. If it had not been for his blood, we might not have got to church safely today. I want you to understand that it's all about his blood. Don't you know it's because of his blood that we are healed, set free, and delivered? Don't you know because of his blood, we were able to wake up this morning? Don't you know because of his blood, we can come into the presence of the Father? Don't you know because of his blood, we can look at ourselves and realize that we have been washed of our sins and we are now whiter than snow? Don't you know because of his blood, we are in this place right now, able to praise him, able to thank him, able to take some palms and wave them because of his blood. Don't you know if it had not been for his blood, we couldn't be in church. I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, it's all about his
blood. All about his blood.
You see? Lord knows I done got excited, but it's all good. I want you to understand something. That the blood of the Lamb. Can I give it to you like this? There was an older gentleman who had done real well for himself. Deacon Diane, he was raised out in Keysville, Virginia. But he left home to go to college, went to college, got a degree, got a master's, and Dr. Aldridge got a PhD just like you. And after doing all that, he was successful. But he was now getting up in his 60s and still feeling real spry and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And he just wanted to go back to the home place one more time. And the home place he found out, Deacon Elwood, somebody had bought the land. And as they bought the land, they left the home place still there, surrounded by a bunch of weeds, a few cracks in the windows, roof, got some issues. It was about 5 acres with this land on it. He goes over to the gentleman that bought it. He told him, I'm going to give you $300,000 for these 5 acres and that house. That man looked at him, Sister Fee, like, this fool done lost his mind. When do you want to take it?
Yes, sure he did.
And he went and he bought that. And then once he did, he cut down all the weeds around the house, fixed the house up real good, fixed the pane windows, gutted out a lot of the stuff on the inside, put everything new in it, even put some brick face around it. I mean, put a nice big deck on the back. And the guy who he bought it from came back and rode through about 6 months later, and he stopped. And he saw the dude out there just looking at it and just shaking his head saying, thank you, Lord. And he walked up to the man that bought it. Because, you know, the dude now $300 richer. And it sure enough didn't cost that much. And he said to him, man, you know, I'd have gave you all this land and that old beat up house for maybe about $70,000, $80,000. Why you pay me so much? He said, you don't know what this place means to me. You see, this is where I got my start. I now have an undergrad, a master's, and a PhD. I've done real well. I've written several books. And yes, I didn't have to pay you that much. But I owe it to those who raised me in this place. And I wanted them to know that I don't mind giving my all for them. Because they gave their all for me. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's because of his blood, which lets us know that he gave his all for us. Some folk might say he overpaid for us. Some folk might say he was a fool to pay all that kind of money because you saw weeds growing up all around us, some cracks in our windows, the roof had some leaks in it. But the Lord said, I'm going to pay the best price for it. And the beauty is that once he bought us, didn't he fix us up real good?
That's right.
Didn't he heal us?
That's right.
Didn't he make us whole?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he do a new thing for us? Oh, we serve a mighty good God. Don't you know it's his blood is why we're here. We've been here 121 years because of we're going to be here for a long time until he come back for us. And it's all because of.
Yes, sir.
And since we got his blood to see us through, I don't care what tries to knock us.
That's right.
I don't care what tries to block us.
Right.
I don't care what tries to get in our way.
Yeah.
But when you got the blood, Sister Mamie, of Jesus, don't you know he'll make a way out of no way?
Right.
He'll step in right on time. Do I got a witness in God's house? How many folk know it's his blood that has blessed us? His blood that is keeping us. His blood that will see us through. Somebody ought to thank him right now.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment and rise to our feet. And let's give God some praise.
Yeah.
Because it's all about his blood. That's why we can wave these palms. Because of his blood. And we want folk to know we serve a mighty good God. And we thank him for our God is just good like that. You ain't got to sit down. We're getting ready to open up the doors of the church. Our God is just good like that. You know, as I was meditating on, Lord, what do I preach this morning? Earlier this week. And then the Lord took me to Acts 20:28. And I looked at this. I said, Pastor. I said, Lord, call the Lord, Pastor. Lord, how? This is what you want me to preach. And I kept fumbling and looking at other stuff. And then he just kept bringing me right back here.
His blood.
And then as I read and I read, I was focusing, digging out what on the beginning. But it's really about the end.
That's right.
His blood.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, we serve a God who is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
The beginning.
Yeah. That's right.
But I was just focusing on keep watch over yourselves and the flock. No. None of that's possible if we don't have his blood.
That's right.